Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is a very happy because he met Bret Hart, man. JD, Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
Yeah, just enjoying another week of vacay here. Getting ready to go back to work here soon. I'm actually getting ready to go to my first ever concert tomorrow.
Concert?
I have never been to a concert in my life.
Like musical concert?
Yeah.
Huh. Who are you seeing?
The great Willie Nelson.
Of course you are.
Seeing him in Columbus, Ohio tomorrow. Gonna eat at one of those Brazilian steakhouses where they go around and cut the meat off the stick thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm all for that. I've never eaten at one of those before, so should be a good day tomorrow. But yes, last weekend was awesome. I was about seventh in line.
Mm-hmm.
Brett's line was quite large. In true Brett fashion, he was 50 minutes late.
You know, Shawn Michaels would be on time.
Well, somebody said in line, like, this is something Shawn would do, not Brett. I'm like, you guys don't know Brett very well, do you? That motherfucker's never on time for anything. It never has been.
Yeah.
I expected at least 30. I was thinking in my head it turned into 50, but whatever. It was pretty cool. So, you know, I threw my book down there for him to sign, and you know, he's like, who do I make this out to? And I was like, Justin. And he said, did you actually read this book? And I said, fuck yeah, I read it as soon as it came out. I said, when are you going to write another one? And he goes, I'm working on it. So, yeah, that was about it. I didn't want to be a mark and take up a bunch of time. There was a lot of people been waiting. So
yeah,
I just shook his hand and said, you know, I've been waiting all my life to meet you. You've been a true inspiration to me, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And he said, thank you. And that was it.
Well, hey, and how much were your hands sweating?
A little bit. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, actually. But he was super nice when he first came in. So Ric Flair and Lex Luger and all the Four Horsemen are getting their picture in like a line beside our line.
Sure.
So they were actually halfway on time for their shoot. So they had been taking pictures for a while. So the crowd starts clapping. Brett comes in through the middle of the crowd. And he's, you know, coming over to get where he's going to sit, and Rick starts yelling at him, hey, Brett, come over here. Brett went in there and got a picture with all the Four Horsemen and some lucky fan that got Brett included into their Four Horsemen.
Oh, no shit.
So he went over there and shook, you know, everybody's hand. He was talking to JJ and Arn. And so it was cool to see him go on all the respect that all those guys had, you could tell, had for him. It was pretty cool to see.
Well, it's cool to see all of them go back and go from booth to booth. I worked Starcast back in Baltimore, and you got to see a lot of people going from booth to booth. Like when I was doing something and I saw the Rock and Roll Express talking to Taz. Three people that you normally you wouldn't think you'd be talking. And
I did see some guys. I saw Scott Steiner talking to like Danhausen. I'm like, well,
Steinhausen. There you go. So yeah, bring him back. One more match.
Yeah, Rick Steiner was sitting over there, and they had a fan wanting to take a picture with him, and he was trying to get Scott's attention, who was on the other side of the walkway there, and Scott was not paying any fucking attention.
Imagine that. one other thing I wanted to bring up before we get to the main topic of the show today is, how about our boy Poundwater Dave? Or should we say Super Ref Dave now?
Yeah. Super Poundwater Referee Dave has that was awesome, man. I almost cried when I saw him running down that ramp. When I saw Mike go down, I thought, better bring Dave out for this.
Yeah.
And then here he comes. There was a lot of my favorite things that happened in that match. So the first thing that shocked me was Megan's involvement.
I loved it though. That was something that you didn't think would happen, but when it did, you popped.
Because anyone that knows Megan, and I, chatted with her quite a few times over the years, she hates wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be involved in wrestling at all. And so for her to get involved and grab Karen by the hair and everything, that was awesome. I loved that part of it. And Conrad standing over there and pushing Jeff Jarrett away over on the other side. Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. And then, of course, Conrad throwing in the brass knucks. Almost screwing over Jeff Jarrett like Vince McMahon style there. Yeah. The promoter.
Conrad screwed Jeff.
He did. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Poundwater busting ass. I'm glad he didn't tear both quads sliding into the ring, but I was a little worried about it.
It was to go off what you said. I even choked up a little bit. I got goosebumps a little bit when I saw Dave come down, because you and I both know how much that meant to him, because of everything he's been through. Being a referee as long as he has been, his love for professional wrestling, for that old school wrestling, or what everybody else would call wrestling to him.
I think he calls it wrestling.
But I even messaged him as soon as it happened. I said, hey, congratulations. I know how much it means to you. I'm proud of it. Proud that they were able to do it for you. And he sent me back, thanks very much. And I'm sure he was out drinking all night long. He had Stephanie there with him. So I doubt it.
He said that they did one shot after the pay-per-view was over. They all did it backstage. He said, other than that, he didn't drink last weekend. He was on call, as he should have been. I mean, if he would have went to the back and started cracking a few after his match, he wouldn't have been able to go out there and count the three at the bottom.
Right, but it was one of those things too. And when I saw him running down, I'm like, holy crap! It looks like Little Nage. I'm like, oh, it's Poundwater Dave.
Yeah,
and just to hear Tony, it's Dave Miller. It's Dave Miller. It's
Super Dave Miller, I think he said.
Did you say Super Dave? I didn't hear it. I saw that Dave Miller.
Yeah, he said Super Dave.
But it's just
Super Dave.
And a lot of the times, I'm not very often lost for words, but this is something that I have a hard time finding the words to express, just the gratitude that, and you as well, I'm sure, has had for Dave because of everything that he does, and he deserves every second of it.
I've seen him do some amazing things. I've seen him body slam the Bojangles champion flat on his back one time in Huntsville, Alabama. So.
Nobody's been able to do that yet. It's like when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. Yeah.
It kind of did look like that.
It's like that Spider-Man thing where you're pointing to each other. Yeah. Well, pun intended, right?
You know what? I feel bad for Dave. You know why? I mean, he goes from ref and Ric Flair's last match to here in a few weeks, he's going to have to cover SummerSlam 96 with us. That's a little bit of a step down.
But I'm sure he'll be able to slide in there and count the 1, 2, 3 for Vader and Shawn Michaels coming up. But what we're going to do, though, is the build up to King of the Ring, or excuse me, not King of the Rings, shit, SummerSlam 96. We're going to be going over August 5th, 1996 this week, August 12th the following week. Then we're going to go into, we're going to do a little bit different. We're not going to completely do the SummerSlam at the end of the month. We'll actually do the Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam as well. So we'll kind of give a little context to it of that, because it's weird. Sometimes SummerSlam is at the beginning of the month, the middle of the month. Sometimes at the end, it's weird. Yeah. But one thing that isn't weird is how over Mr. Rich Palladino is as well. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
Justin, August 5th, 96, from the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington, 6,755 fans there in, or 6,755, whatever way you want to look at it. fans are here in the arena on the build to SummerSlam. And for some reason, tonight's main event is a battle royal, and the winner gets a title shot after SummerSlam, because it's never too early to start planning ahead.
That's right. Long-term booking, baby.
Well, I figure they'd have to do it sometime, right?
Speaking of SummerSlam, before we get going, I did forget to say at the beginning, thank you to the guys over at FFP Podcast, who I was able to watch SummerSlam from their suite last weekend. First time I've ever been to a WWE pay-per-view, and obviously it was pretty cool to sit there and watch it in a suite, sit there with old Polly B and watch most of it, and it was a real fun time. So I just wanted to say thank you to those guys, TJ, Timmy, Dave, all those guys over there. And I think even James Coelho sticks his nose in their business every now and then too.
Were you able to actually see the pay-per-view? Because from what I understood is you're blinded by the light.
Yeah.
Blinded by the light.
We were blinded by it. And about halfway through the night, I think I was revved up like a deuce too. But anyways, yeah, that light was out of control, bro. It was just like in the upper right corner of the square cage thing around the ring.
Yeah.
And it just was just this huge white light that just was right in your friggin' eyes.
Yeah.
It was terrible. We were tweeting WWE, trying to bitch at them and everything.
I'm sure they got right back to you, right? So our opening segment here is Jerry the King Lawler is in the ring to start, and he has a big bottle wrapped in a brown paper bag to talk about Jake Roberts. So a little context to that. Jake and Jerry are at this feud here. Jake is obviously, as everybody knows, he's at that time he was working alcoholic.
Well, and his gimmick was he was like a born again Christian
in 96, right? Yeah. So what did you think of this opening segment, man? It served a purpose of getting this angle over, but I really could care less about it, to be honest with you.
I don't like the use of alcohol. I don't know. I just, you know, especially considering Jake had a lot of hard times after this. I just don't like using it in an angle. Someone that's actually, and I get that they want to kind of play off of real life and blah, blah, blah. But some things don't need to be gimmicked. And I think that alcohol, abuse or whatever would be one of those things.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, hits home for me, as you know. Because I've been dry for, at this point, 19 months as we're recording. And watching this, it's like, shit, man, it just doesn't hit home. It hits home too closely. And I'm not saying I was a full-fledged alcoholic. I caught it before I got to that point. But,
yeah,
it showed me the reasons why I stopped, because I didn't want to get to it at that point. And I get you want to be that heel. I get it. But for as much as many fans that are in the stands, I guarantee you somebody, it hit him for somebody.
Like, there's so many ways we could have went about this feud without going into the alcohol or drug angle. Like, how about we just go old school Memphis and have Jerry steal a snake and have his snake
Why not?
For like
two Why not? You know, have him like run over the snake or something, and it could be like those cartoons where you have the flattened pancake or something of the snake and womp 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 womp. But yeah, I just we're gonna see this go forward too into SummerSlam in a couple weeks. Like I said, we'll go over a little bit more in detail there. So
I would say though, Jerry, I thought was fantastic on this. This is really when he started kind of getting into his groove. I think he was really, really good and really funny throughout this show.
Yeah, so we're gonna see Aldo Montoya come out. So Jerry Lee Lawler pulls out the bottle of Jim Beam as Robert's partner. Doesn't make sense. Anyways, so we got Aldo Montoya taking on Jerry Lawler here. Lawler gives the mic and talks during the match. If you're going to do it, do it. Jerry's the best, one of the better talkers of all time. Yes, I get it. But come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Pick it up. We don't want to hear you. And it's hard to see. You know, 96 was a turning point in the business, both on both channels. And this is the reason why WCW was beating the shit out of WWF for 83 weeks. It was bullshit like this, where it's like, okay, I really don't care about this. I don't want to see
no
it.
No one gives a damn about Aldo Montoya.
Mm-hmm.
Never did. No one gives a damn about this alcohol angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, King, one of his few wins in WWE, he actually wins this match.
Yeah.
And then pours the alcohol in Aldo's mouth and that whole thing. And, you know, I don't know. I don't like using the alcohol thing. You know, and especially this is supposed to be still, I think at this point, a kid-oriented show.
I don't think they've really made that turn yet to that quote-unquote attitude era. It probably won't happen until early 97 here.
I can tell you that I used to act out the matches with my brother on our trampoline after the Raws and stuff. Am I supposed how many kids went and got their mom and dad's alcohol bottle and poured it into their brother's
mouth? it's probably like cough syrup or something. You get that Robitussin, that orange out, that orange medicine. Like, crap, I drink that with club soda right now. Christ, that
a
shit's
lot of
good.
Kids became alcoholics because of this angle, because this is how they started.
But that's what they see. Right. That's a problem. It's just like, you guys are trying to be edgy. I get it. Fine. But you have to still remember, you got a lot of kids watching, like to what you said. And like, everybody acts it out. Oh, don't try this at home. Bullshit. Everybody tries it at home. But they're covering their own ass. I get it. But so Hillbilly Jim's out. Oh, so you
my
know
friend's old trick was with his dad's vodka bottle. He just drank it and then just fill it up with water so they wouldn't know until they wanted to drink vodka again, which they never hardly did.
Well, see, I know my buddy used to do that, the same thing too, but his dad was smarter than he was, and he just had a bot, like a stand-in bottle that he would fill with water to make it look like vodka. So he would be drinking water anyway, so he knew when he was drinking it, and he would just hide his other stuff. It's stupid shit you do when you're young. That's your damn sure. Speaking of stupid shit when you're young, Hillbilly Jim's out. Why?
Just because Jerry's not doing the commentary, so they want to bring a third person in. But of all people, it's Hillbilly Jim.
But why not just have the two-man booth with Jim and Vince?
The hillbilly guy. That's what they called him when he first debuted. He was like a mountain man sitting in the second row on whatever.
Superstars?
No, it was before that. It was like
prime time?
Yeah, something. I don't know. But they would say, there's that hillbilly man.
So is that what they call you too?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people call me that, the hillbilly man, yeah.
Well, you got Jungle Boy, you got the Hillbilly Man. Let's have that become a tag team. But we got the New Rockers taking on the Body Donnas. Oy vey.
Man, I never liked the Body Donnas. And I hate to say that for old Tom Pritchard, but...
Well, even Candino, too. And it was just, they're... I just miss him with what the hell was he with the hell's the other tag team? They were that WrestleMania 10 there at that pre-show.
Oh, the the Blue Brothers or whatever.
No. I'm talking about Dr. Tom.
Oh,
and Jimmy Dale Ray.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They weren't the Blue Brothers.
I know, but they were the Bellamy, the Beverly Brothers.
No, they weren't the Beverly Brothers. That was Bull and Blake.
All right, I give up.
I gotta Google it because it's gonna piss me off, and I have to know it. But, what did you think? New Rockers? Did you actually think it was gonna work?
No, the only thing I liked about the New Rockers is at least they kept the old music. I mean,
right.
Don't be getting rid of a good song for no reason. But no, I never thought it was going to work. And at this point, this is what Jannetty's third, 2 month stint in the company in the last 4 years. So it's like,
including everything.
Yeah. So it was just like, if Jannetty's in it, it's not going to be long term. I can promise you that.
But honestly, was there hope at this time for Jannetty, do you think? Or was it just a matter of, hey, we'll just throw it against the wall and see if it sticks kind of thing?
I don't think there was ever any true hope in Marty. There was probably maybe this is the time that he gets straightened out. And it never did. So,
right.
And Lord knows now he's crazier than a three-peckered billy goat. It's a good thing he don't have three peckers because we'd all be in trouble at that point.
Crazier than a three-peckered billy goat. Well, that we can't beat that. That's for damn sure. So we might as well just close shop up for tonight. But thank you for listening.
Thank you from the hillbilly, man.
yeah, right. No kidding. So Jimmy Dale Ray and Dr. Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They were down Smoky Mountain. And then they brought him in. I like that tag team because you still had, the long flowing hair of Dr. Tom. You had the long flowing hair of Jimmy Del Rey. And
you're jealous of long flowing hair, aren't you?
Yes, of course. well, on your head anyways. But no, yeah, that's one of the tag teams. I really wish they would have done something, but I get why they didn't. So what was your favorite Body Donnas match?
This one, sure. I don't have any.
The thing is though, it's typical 1996 WWF because you got Dr. Tom, Chris Candido, Al Snow, and well, kind of whatever, Marty Jannetty too. Three out of the four are pretty goddamn good workers.
Yeah.
Is it just a matter of the times if they got in a little bit later? Do you think they would have gotten a better push?
Four out of the four are good workers. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Marty Jannetty's a hell of a fucking worker. He's just a fucking lunatic.
Right.
But,
say they come in at 97 instead of 96, do you think they get a better push? As a tag team, as individuals, do you think they become better, all around performers?
No. Well, the Body Donna's gimmick was dead now. No one really reacted to them here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how any of these things really would have worked in a 97.
Yeah. So we're about 3 minutes in and we see the Godwins and the Smoking Guns watching the match backstage. One of these is not. Why aren't these two teams in on the show? But the New Rockers and the Body Donnas.
Yeah, I know. Here's a question: should the Smoking Guns be in the Hall of Fame
as a tag team?
Yeah. I mean, what, they probably won the top titles three times or something like that.
At least twice. I don't know. It's something I'd have to think about because
I mean,
as a tag team,
96, they were kind of the tag team,
right? Unless you're bringing back like LOD or something to first spots here and there, or you had there really
Owen,
wasn't
Owen and Yoko, but yeah.
they were more singles wrestlers,
but in 95, 96, they were kind of tag team wrestlers, I would say.
Right, but we're talking, I say late 95, 96. They, I don't know what they were doing, but to answer your question, I think they should. Just because they were that tag team, a legitimate tag team that was over in 96, in 95. And then obviously they would branch off and become great singles wrestlers as well. But I think
the only reason why you wouldn't put them in is because they weren't they were only there like 2 years, two and a half.
But they did help a lot in 2 years though.
Yeah.
But my problem with that is though, it's like until there's a legitimate in the ground hall of fame like there is in Canton or Cooperstown. I think it's like, who gives a shit kind of thing. It's just a ticket seller.
But I think we should put this up as a poll this week for Ringside Rant. Should the Smoking Guns be in the Hall of Fame? I would like to know everyone's thoughts on that.
I'll put it up there in the old noggin and we'll see what happens tomorrow when this drops. But Devin Dowling had a question about the Smoking Guns as well. He said, could the Smoking Guns be a successful tag team in today's wrestling?
I don't know why not.
I think because it would have to be in a certain... I don't see them doing that that type, like the cowboy gimmick in WWE. I see him more in AEW or something like that, or Impact.
Hangman Page still does the gimmick, so why can't
he? Right. But what I could see him doing is what the heck was that stupid series with the you remember the Stephen King series? It was like the Gunslinger. Have him be that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those badass cowboys. Kind of like, honestly, have you ever seen Tombstone?
You know who their manager should be? Chuck Norris. If
no.
Chuck Norris was their fucking manager, they'd be over.
Fuck Chuck Norris. Who'd he ever beat? You know who should be their manager then if they were in there? JBL.
I was going to say Sam Elliott.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's
no, Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton's dead. That's who died.
Yeah, he did die.
Oh, God. This sounds like a fucking episode of What Happened When. Who's dead now?
Well, no shit. I feel like I'm talking to my grandma. She'll say something. I'll be like, Grandma, she died like 2 years ago. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
But no, I think they could. It could be done, but it has to be maybe if Devin, if you're talking that full fledged cowboy gimmick like it was here in 96, it could only in a specific brand. But if you could tweak it a little bit, I think it could be worked all. Honestly, I could say every promotion there would be some sort of aspect of it, of the Smoking Guns, the new Smoking Guns. There you go.
I mean, and let's just break down what they are. They're two taller guys that can work, especially
right.
Billy. So I don't see why that couldn't work now.
Mm-hmm. So they're doing a lot of promos here for this whole building up to the Shawn Michaels versus Vader at the pay-per-view coming up in a couple weeks. And dude, he's just been getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
I knew you liked it, so I wanted to bring it up. Why he's just getting the shit kicked out of him on a lot of host shows. Do you think that's just a matter of them trying to build a storyline as far as, hey, is Vader capable of losing to Shawn Michaels?
Let's see.
Kind of thing. You know what I mean?
House shows, bars, locker room. Shawn's always getting the fucking shit kicked out of him. So I mean, yeah, what's new?
Yeah.
But what was your question?
Do you think that this is just to build up to kind of get fans behind Sean a lot more because Vader's just beating the piss out of him? Or he's in general, he's just getting the shit kicked out of him?
Yeah, I didn't love the interview. It didn't come across as a super babyface interview to me.
Right.
Came across as like kind of, blah, 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 like kind of middle of the road interview. Like I didn't feel like a lot of babyface sympathy for him, but maybe that's just my natural reaction to his ass anyways. But
there it is.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little bit.
Kind of like a woe is me kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. And also, like, he didn't seem like super fired up to go get his revenge either. You know what I mean?
Well, would you want to be all, you know, all up and ready to go over at Vader? Christ, man, I don't want him to come anywhere near him.
Yeah. But he did say he'd love to have Bret Hart back in the WWE, just like all the fans, he said.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just, it didn't really do much for me. So,
Johnny said that, you know, the WWE and Bret Hart are like peanut butter and jelly, and the WWE needs Bret Hart. Fucking Vince should have listened to this promo before the summer of the next year.
Yeah. And, you know, do you think, and Money Mike actually brings this question up, is how different do you think it would have looked if Bret Hart, if they somehow got Bret Hart to come here and to be a legitimate component on the main roster here? Do you think it would have been different? Do you think we would have gotten more of him? Made the company look better too?
If Bret was here in 96?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everyone needs a break. He had worked his ass off for a lot of years in a row for the WWE without much of a break, other than when he missed like WrestleMania 92 because he was kind of negotiating his contract or something at that point. He almost went to WCW, and then he, long story about his contract rolling over, but that was really the only break that he'd had from TV in years.
Right. Right.
I think it was good, especially after 93, 94, 95, where he was like the main baby face. Mm-hmm. So different than Hogan going away to do movies in 89 or 90 when Warrior won or whatever. Bret's doing the same thing. I think it's a good time to go away, go shoot Lonesome Dove, whatever. And then came back and started a fucking great feud with Austin in the fall of 96, you know, starting with that great Survivor Series 96 match they had.
So if you could bring back Lonesome Dove as a series, who would be the star of it? And why would it be Money Mike?
Well, here's where I'm going to lose my Bret Hart super fan card. I've never watched an episode of Lonesome Dove.
Oh.
So I can't really answer that question.
I imagine
if Money Mike's on it, it's going to suck. So there's that.
All right, then. I'm glad you took it there. I kind of teed it up for you, and you knocked it out about 400 yards down the middle of the fairway. So, so the Battle Royal's up next, man. So we got to run down the roster. It's 11-man Battle Royal. Winner gets a title shot after SummerSlam. So you got Undertaker, Mankind, Sid, British Bulldog, Justin Hawk Bradshaw, Owen Hart, Steve Austin, Goldust, Mark Morrow. Savio Vega, and Ahmed Johnson. So,
one of these things does not look like the other. To me, there's one name in here that I think, why in the fuck is he in this match? Can you guess?
Bradshaw?
Yeah. Bradshaw, I guess they must have been really trying to push him when he first kind of got there.
Yeah, but I think they're just trying to, one, get another heel in there. Two, a bigger, brash dude. Because you think about it, you got Undertaker in here, Mankind in here.
Sid.
You know, Sid, Bulldog, Ahmed. Goldust is a pretty big dude.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to even it out. But I think they're just trying to push him here, man. I really do. But the thing that I didn't get is you have your IC champion, Ahmed Johnson, in a battle royal for the heavyweight title shot. Why? You know what I mean? And I get you want to push him. He's a big dude. He's very athletic, whatever. But why?
They're definitely shooting a rocket up his ass because, as we will see in the next week's Raw, next week, they do this whole segment with him in the hospital and being interviewed, and they're really putting the rocket to Ahmed. So I can understand being in this match.
So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit and why he's in the hospital. But first and foremost, I want to get a point across here where you have the Undertaker and Mankind fight through the crowd and back into the ring and then back into the crowd, setting up this whole Boiler Room brawl at SummerSlam. I know we're starting our new list this week in rivalries. Maybe this is one of those Undertaker, the start of the Undertaker Mankind, Undertaker Cactus Jack, whatever, rivalries. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think if it wasn't for Undertaker, there'd be no Mankind. If there wasn't any Mankind, I don't think Undertaker would have gotten as over as he did. I think he still would have. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he didn't get over. Don't get me wrong. But they complemented each other so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they both eliminate each other right out of the chute. And we're building to the Boiler Room match at SummerSlam here in a few weeks. And we'll talk about that later, I think. But so they're out. And then we see, I didn't hate this. I thought Steve Austin got over well in this.
Yeah.
And
I think too, the main reason why they wanted to do this, I believe, is just because they wanted to see the fans' reactions to some of these guys. A guy like Sid, a guy like Bulldog doing a singles run.
The fans were in on Sid.
Oh, by far.
When Sid came out, they popped on his entrance. Yeah. Big.
And as you know, it didn't last too terribly long, but even you can legitimately see any of these guys really be heavyweight champion. You really do. And I think that's what they tried to do as well.
Well, if you look at the list, Undertaker, world champion. Mankind, world champion. Sid, world champion. Steve Austin, world champion. So, there's
quite a bit.
And Justin Bradshaw. So there's like six in there that all end up being world champions.
Six out of 11, yeah. But I wanted to bring up too, while we're at this, is Ahmed Johnson ends up, body scissoring Goldust over the top rope to become, to win the title shot for the coming up. But then after the match, you see, Farooq come out and really take him out, kick him in the side. Which we'll get to that we'll get to that after the fact, which he would become injured legitimately. But we'll get into that next week because that is a lot.
Fucked up this whole angle. Like, here's the thing. I don't think fans understand this enough. Ahmed Johnson won a battle royal on Raw for a world title shot against Undertaker, Bulldog, Sid, Mankind, Bradshaw, Owen Hart, Steve Austin. Like, they're putting it on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting the rocket to him.
And they're then strapping it to him.
And then when I think he gets hurt here, that's the first cog in this declining health situation. And this is the first time that they thought, you know what? He fucked us. We were trying to build a program around him, and he can't finish it because he can't stay healthy.
Well, no, you guys fucked him. That's what happened.
But I think that this kind of starts their doubt in him.
Right. But whose fault is that, though? I don't know if you really want to put a fault on anybody. Because you get hurt, you get hurt. I get it. But it's just like, then you just stop pushing him.
Yeah.
But did you actually like this whole Ahmed Johnson Farooq feud? Excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I liked it. That was one of the better feuds they had going at this time.
Well, and I think it gave something for Farouk to do, you know, being the veteran that he is, really
he's still on his stupid ass helmet at this point.
Well, no, I mean, in general, though, from back in WCW.
Yeah.
So he's 4 years into after winning the heavyweight title.
You know what Vince's answer was? We'll give him a helmet and tits. We'll put him with Sonny.
who was your favorite tag team that Sonny managed, and why was it Legion of Doom in her getup?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool when Legion of Doom came back in 97.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd probably be them. My first team that came to mind was the Headbangers. Didn't she manage them?
I don't remember that.
I think she did for a short period of time. You guys tell me if I'm wrong on that. But
she got around a lot, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, just like Devin, Devin Dowling, you asked that question. So yeah. Fucking David Flair, fucking hell. Go drink some freaking Pepsi Nitro. Jesus Christ.
That shit's terrible too. I've had that. It's like
cough
syrup.
I had it the other day and it was a drizzling shit. I almost went up to the gas station and asked for my money back because it sucks so bad.
Well, that's what you get when you take Devin Dowling's recommendations.
Well, I figured a man that can, you know, has the game like he does to outkick his coverage for his wife or soon to be wife, and then have his roommate, quote unquote. I don't know if I want to punch him in the face or give him a hug when I see him at Top Guy Weekend.
That long, luscious hair that he has. That's what you're missing.
Yeah, well, he can, freaking shave that. I'll break into his fucking room and shave his fucking head. Anyways, Brad Stanton is up for a question here. And he asked, do you think any...
Plaid man Brad?
What's that? Plaid Brad. Plaid Brad. So, funny story. Brad called... I look at my phone yet last night. Brad and I are usually on a regular basis, is every other day. Texting, and
you guys look alike.
I know. Well, good for him. He looks like if you're comparing myself to Brad or Brad to me, I don't know. Anyways,
change his Twitter name to Plaid Man Brad. Plaid Man Brad.
We should make like a parody account or something. Plaid Man Brad. Plaid Man Brad. Yeah, we could get JD Hoop on that graphic.
We're going to make a theme song about Plaid Man Brad, I think.
Hey. You know how to get a hold of Efren, you know, so you might want to get on that. We could debut that at Top Guy Weekend. He's calling me. All I heard was, can you get the blah, 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 blah? And he hung up on me. Sorry. I'm like, what the fuck? He texts me back. He's like, sorry, that was meant for somebody else. I'm like, oh, thanks. Anyways, I'll still ask your questions, Justin. Fuck. I'll still ask your questions, Brad, even though that you don't want to talk to me. So. He says, do you think anyone could have played the Goldust character better than Dustin Rhodes?
I mean, I guess, but we just don't know anything different, so it's hard to say. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that could have done it.
Do you think, how about a guy like Mark Mero?
I mean, hell, you know, Canyon,
he was Johnny B. Bad.
Canyon's in that LGBTQ community with me. I mean, Canyon could have probably fucking pulled it off pretty well.
Sure, but what, 96? He was in, he was Mortis at this time, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're getting ready to be,
ready.
He probably would have been, and you know, they're about the same size, too.
You know, and he really goes into depth, too, Brad does, and it's just interesting. He brings up, it's how interesting how opposite his character is in him in real life, either then, now, whatever, but, yeah.
People knew in 1996 that Goldust chewed tobacco. I think that would be a problem.
Yeah, that's probably not good. And do you think he should have been in any? Brad asked, "Dude, do you think he should have been in movies and TV because of his role, of this role?"
No.
No, just captain in the company.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, he probably could have done some funny commercials though in the Goldust kit.
That by between him and the Farouk's gimmick there, holy shit, they could have had some fucking fun with that crap. But what we'll be doing next, Justin, is our new segment. We haven't really given it a title yet. I know we had Wrestling with Music before, and we thank everybody that had contributed to that. What we're going to do this time is do the best rivalries. We're just going to pick them randomly this time. We're not going to have them associated with the event because, or that specific event that we're talking about. We basically pick one from any time it period, male, female, tag team, whatever. We're going to do one each week. So I'll do one, Justin will do one. And we implore you to DM us your picks for your best rivalries. We'll put them in a hat. We'll pick one out and we'll add it to our list. We're going to be doing a list of 25 this time, guys. So you may want to get them in as soon as possible. But you know, try to keep it as limited as possible. If you want to give multiples, great. We'll see how many people we get, but we're going to try and do that every week, Justin, like we said, we talked about, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Just hit us up. What you guys want us to rank. And if we think it's top 25 worthy, I mean, you know, don't send in Billy and Chuck versus whoever.
Fucking Devin Dowling.
We want to get the 25 best rivalries we can think of here. So that's what we're going to do here on this little season of rankings, I guess you could call it. And
the season of love.
Yeah. So what were you ranking first?
So I started off hot this time. A lot of people, we had this whole, I don't know if you watched the rivalries thing they have on A&E with the WWE.
A couple of them. I saw the Austin and Rock one and the Bret Shawn one.
Yeah. I haven't seen that Bret Shawn one yet. And I kind of started with the Rock and Austin one. So I didn't really want to start with any of those because those are out there now. I want to start something original. And seeing that we're coming off of Ric Flair's last match, I chose Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat as the rivalry. Obviously, they have that trilogy of matches. The first one, Steamboat beat Flair for the title at Chi-Town Rumble. Then they had a rematch at the Clash of Champions where Flair won the first fall and Steamboat won the second fall. Steamboat then picked up a pin in the third fall. Best of three. But it was Flair had his feet on the ropes, which basically set up management throwing it out the finish. And then Flair won the finale. So that trilogy, probably one of the best trilogies of all time, right, Justin?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you had both guys in their absolute prime there in the late 80s, and they just put on an old school good wrestling match three times in a row. And the thing about this rivalry, though, is too that it wasn't just about 89. These guys have been training. I think they both trained together in Minnesota at Vern's place,
yeah.
So they've been wrestling together pretty much their whole careers, and there's something to be said for that. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
The question is, what's Flair's best rivalry? Is it Dusty or is it here with Steamboat? I think Steamboat would go ahead of Dusty.
Yeah. But I think why they're both great rivalries. You can even throw Harley Race in that conversation as well, because Flair really had many great rivalries. You can throw Kerry Von Erich in there too, in the mid 80s. Shout out to Poundwater Dave for that. You're welcome.
Ron Garvin.
yeah, right. And address, right?
Yeah.
But what they don't realize is Steamboat challenged Flair for the NWA title in 77. So the rivalry goes all the way back there to the late 70s. And they clashed over the Mid-Atlantic TV title. So a lot of people will go back there to the late 80s, early 90s and think, oh, that's the only time they fought. Well, no, They fought before and they fought after that when they, you know, the iteration in 94 that they had over the world title that Flair won again.
Yeah.
So this is something that's long-term booking going from basically 77 all the way up here to 94. Mm-hmm. Then even you can even go even more current to that when you had Flair with who was it? Snuka, Steamboat, and Piper there at WrestleMania to take on Jericho.
Mm-hmm. So
somewhere along the line, they were hooked up, whether it be against each other, whether it be, you know, associated in some sort of match together.
Well, we can only rank it one place right now. That's number one, because that's the only one we got.
There you go. That's the only one. I like how you think. All right. So what do you got to add, Justin?
All right. So my feud is actually one that I think should be, and this is going to catch heat from probably a lot of people. I think this feud is better than the Flair or the Steamboat Flair feud. Now, here's why, and I guess I should tell you all what it is. It is Undertaker versus Mankind. This feud spawned so many things, but as soon as Mankind got in the WWE, you talk about peanut butter and jelly, like Undertaker and Mankind just kind of were right attracted to each other from the start. And they, Mick Foley was just the perfect guy to get thrown around and do bumps, you know, by the Undertaker. And whether you talk about the Hell in a Cell match, whether you talk about how Mankind and Paul Bearer eventually spawned Kane out of that. Like a lot of people like to talk about Kane and Undertaker's feud and how great it is. I saw that on the Rivalry show.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Mankind Undertaker is Undertaker's greatest feud. I think it's better than Kane.
You think it's better than Steamboat and Flair?
I do. Just because, and here's why. Steamboat and Flair gave us great wrestling matches, great old school NWA stuff, right? But right. Undertaker and Mankind gave us stuff that no one forgets. They gave us some of the biggest moments in wrestling history when you're talking about the Hell in a Cell match and, you know, just all kinds of shit. So to me, I think it goes above Flair and Steamboat.
So, how about this? How about for now, 1-2, we'll do the Flair Steamboat beginning and then a Mankind Undertaker under it. But we'll put a poll out.
Okay.
On Twitter, @_ringsiderant.
We're putting you guys to work. You have two polls this week to answer.
Yeah, two polls. Ha-ha.
Smoking guns. Yeah. Should be in the Hall of Fame. And which of these two feuds do you like? Yeah. Because, like I said, I love the Flair-Steamboat rivalry. I'm not saying I don't. But for me as a kid growing up in the mid-90s, this thing was kind of... And you can almost make an argument that this feud, along with Bret and Steve's feud, are the two feuds that kind of started to push the WWE into
the next one. No, and don't get me wrong. I completely understand with you. And I agree with you on most of your points, but I think a lot of the points we kind of said about each other's feuds though, you know what I mean? And I think that's what makes wrestling great is because you have somebody that span what? At this point, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
And they're still so similar, but so different. If that makes any type of sense, I'm sorry if it doesn't, but I think that is one of the better feuds, like you said, that really turned this company around in 96 to really, because if you think about it, they went all the way to probably what? When did Mank or Foley retire? Because he retired. Well, not really technically. I mean, retire,
if you think about it this way, their feud, they were really fused together here for like 2 years, too. Starting in 96, the Hell in a Cell thing didn't happen until 98, yeah. Right?
So they were going back and forth for a better part of 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'll do whichever. I think there's no wrong answer right now for either one of these feuds, but let's leave it up to all the listeners out there. We'll put the polls out on at underscore ringside rant on Twitter. Head over there. I'll put it. Honestly, what I'll do is when the show drops to, well, we're recording Thursday, but when the show drops, I'll put it right in the description for the show on Twitter. Look right in there. Vote right there. I'll leave it open. Honestly, I'll leave it open until, what do you say? When we leave it open to what? Sunday? A couple days?
Sure. Whenever.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
You're gonna be higher than a kite than tomorrow anyway. So what the hell's the difference, right? You'll get contact high.
I know, that'll be interesting.
Should be interesting.
Ron Willie sits around in his underwear. I'm ready for some Willie Nelson tomorrow.
In his underwear? Did you say?
Well, it's a song, Shotgun Willie. It goes, Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
Well, apparently you've been topping off on that old whiskey there, right?
Oh no, I can keep going. We got a whole concert I can sing here. But yeah, no, I'm ready to see some Willie tomorrow. That should be a good time. My first concert to see the 89-year-old Willie Nelson. This man's almost 90 and still touring, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm like 12. I'm 12 years old. When you said what you said, I just giggled like a little schoolgirl. I'm going to see a lot of Willie tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm for it. I'm for it.
I'm sorry. I budged.
Throw me all the Willie. I don't care.
I'm going to isolate that and just send it to Efren. I'm sorry. Holy shit. I'm holy crap. Anyways. Whoo.
Let me go. I got to go smoke some salmon.
All right. Well, goddamn, son. Anyways, thanks for tuning in this week. Justin's got to go smoke his meat. Next week, we're going to be going over the August 12th, 1996 edition of Monday Night Raw. A lot of you already sent you in your questions for us. Thank you very much. Still send them in to at underscore ringside rant. We'll get you on the sheet. Justin, man, this has been going fairly well. Hopefully we get a lot of interaction here with our polls out this week. We won't, you know, make you do too much homework, but this is something fun enough where you can pick and choose what rivalry you like and what you don't like.
Yeah, should be. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone's opinions, and we'll get back at it next week and watch another Raw from 1996.
Alrighty, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this week, and we'll see you right back here on the Ringside Rant next week.